Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in to a Wednesday edition of the program live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Glad you're with us today, and boy, we've got plenty to jam in the upcoming hour. There's no question about that. Archie Miller had his first press conference of the offseason. Really, maybe you get one from him in the summer, but that is the case so far. We got the chance to hear from him last night. He met with a group of reporters that regularly cover Indiana. And I tell you what, some interesting questions. I think with that total, including the players, there were a number of four or five players included in the press conference last night. It's just under an hour of audio. If you want to watch the full thing, Alex Bozich's Inside the Hall website has it. But we're going to play back some of the highlights from that interview, at least with Coach Miller, in the first segment today, and we've got some news to get to as well, so let's jump right into it today. The show lined up, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have a couple quick Zaxby's headlines for you, and then we'll jump straight into some comments from Archie Miller last night. We'll play those back for you here in just a second in the opening segment. And of course, big news, if you haven't heard it, we'll cover it here in a moment. Trey Kaufman lands a big scholarship offer, and it will be interesting to see how this new offer plays into his recruitment and how it affects Indiana's chances to land the big man from Silver Creek. So we'll talk about that coming up later in the show. Segment two, Dustin Dopierak, he's formerly of The Athletic. He's going to join us to recap some of what Coach Miller had to say. He covered a lot of topics last night. A lot of things that we just wanted to know. Is the team playing 5-on-5? Can they play 5-on-5, 3-on-3 right now? Can they even get in the gym to shoot? What does basketball right now in Bloomington look like? So that and a lot of other things. He talks about specific players. Even the players had some comments last night. All that last night does is get me excited for the season. And, damn, I hope that we have a season with the pandemic that we're currently in. So Dustin Dopierak in segment two. And final segment, we got a ton of little local nuggets to talk about in sports with Josh Cook. He's a sports editor of the News and Tribune. And our final segment with him each week, is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. So that's what we'll do in the show today, the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure you stop by the Honey Baked Ham store and check out all the new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Pickup is available, and of course, curbside service available as well if you call ahead at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And I'll tell you what, big news, Trey Kaufman, yesterday afternoon it came out that he has received a scholarship offer from North Carolina. That is a blue blood program, obviously an important program in D1 college basketball. Roy Williams is an experienced guy, someone that's an ace recruiter, and that is a big step up. Not that Trey doesn't have a lot of interest or a lot of options, he does. He's got a lot of high major offers, but probably none with the weight of North Carolina. So going to be interesting to see how this affects his recruiting process. Going to be interested to see if this affects Indiana's chances to land him. And we'll have a lot more on this some today, but also as we work the rest of the week to talk with different people about Trey Kaufman's recruiting and how this could change things as far as what he could announce or what he could decide down the line in his recruiting process. Also, we'll cover, also I should say, in our headlines today, this just out a little bit ago, that Iowa has paused, Iowa basketball, that is, has paused its basketball voluntary workouts. There have been two positive cases within the basketball program. They're going to pause the workouts for 14 days, and the release from the university said that two Iowa student-athletes in the men's basketball program tested positive for COVID-19 on Monday, July 27th. So another Big Ten school, another Big Ten sport team affected as far as their workouts being at least temporarily shelved, as Indiana football has been. But so far, Indiana basketball still rolling along, as are the other sports in Bloomington, with these voluntary workouts as well. Last night, we got a little bit of a treat if you follow Romeo Langford and the Celtics. Final of three scrimmage games that the Celtics went through before they return to regular season games. And, of course, these upcoming games, I guess you could call them placement games for the playoffs for the Celtics. But Boston's in the hunt, and they rested a ton of guys last night, which meant they started just an absolute crazy lineup last night of guys that never get to start. And Romeo Langford was one of those players. Boston did go on to lose 137-112 to Houston last night down in Orlando. But Romeo got the start. He was 3-for-7 from the field, 0-of-2 from three-point range, and he hit 3-of-4 free throws that he attempted as he finished with 9 points for Boston in this final scrimmage game. So good to see him and really some of the other guys get some run, get some playing time, get used to the bubble in Orlando. I have a feeling that Romeo is going to get some steady minutes off the bench. Maybe not a ton of minutes, but some steady minutes. And then as we talked with Chris Grinham earlier this week, Gordon Hayward, he's going to leave the bubble coming up. It's probably going to be during the playoffs to go back home and be with his wife when she has their first child, or at least a child. And a lot of people think that Romeo Langford will be his replacement potentially, or will definitely see an increase in minutes when he does depart the bubble in Orlando. So I think because of that, and because Romeo has probably earned some of it, you're going to see some minutes for him off the bench, somewhat consistent for the Celtics team, which is fun to follow in the restart, to have another local storyline to watch in the NBA. Also, Eric Gordon, I saw yesterday, former IU guy, obviously he's had a great career for Houston and in the NBA. They thought he had some concern with his ankle, but I saw reports out last night that his ankle is not broken, which is good news for the Rockets and, of course, good news for Eric Gordon as well. Final headline before we get to this Archie Miller audio. This has nothing to do with sports, but Minnesota is the first school in the Big Ten Conference to move its semester online. Other Power 5 universities that are doing online-only school, for the most part, USC and Cal out west. And this just happened within the last hour or so. So, again, not a huge deal when it comes to sports. I don't think it's going to affect their ability to play college football or fall sports that are played this year, if they are played this year. But it is interesting that there is going to be a Big Ten school. And, again, Minnesota, most of all of its classes, I think there are just a few exceptions, but will be online. So other than student-athletes, if their seasons continue and if the seasons are played, they could be on campus while most everyone else is teaching online or attending classes online and maybe not on the actual Minnesota campus itself. So that's an interesting development, I think, to watch. Will we see more Big Ten schools go virtual only, online only? Will Indiana consider that? It doesn't look like it right now, but you know, there was a report yesterday with Dr. Fauci saying Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, a number of states in our area here, they think this is the next big outbreak because of the positivity in the testing results. So even though we think schools starting back today for Greater Clark, next week for some other schools, some doing a hybrid model, some have delayed for a couple weeks, even though we think this is what's going to happen, will it actually happen when we get a week or two from now? So interesting to see. That's our Zaxby's headlines, and we'll continue this segment with some audio from yesterday. This is Archie Miller, a Zoom conference now. This wasn't done in person. It wasn't done at Assembly Hall, but this is Archie Miller on IU basketball. The first question that you're going to hear Archie answer is actually from Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, who's with me on Mondays. And he just asked about generally what's going on right now with the IU program. What are they allowed to do? And here is Archie Miller. We're going to play about 8 or 10 minutes of this from last night here in this first segment to close things out. Again, Archie Miller from last night, a Zoom press conference, his first meeting with the media since the Big Ten Conference, since Indiana's last game in the Big Ten Conference in March.
I mean, that's a good question. And I would say, Zach, the biggest thing that we've learned is we're always sort of, we always seem to be a wait and see mode as a staff, whether that's the recruiting period continuing to be extended to the dead period from month to month. Let's adjust to that. Our players being back in a smaller group and new protocols, what does that look like? What are the contingency plans for your staff? You know, can they all be together when you work out? Can all your players, what's the best way to group them, you know, together if they're working out in case, you know, something inevitably will happen at some point in time? Do you have that built in? Just little things like what happens if your trainer happens to be quarantined? Or what happens if your strength coach who works daily with your guys happens to be quarantined? What's the backup plan? And I can keep going in terms of, well, what's the non-conference schedule going to look like? And how does that work when the teams come in? Is it best for our team in general, you know, with how we're doing things, is our travel schedule, how we've been traveling, does that work? I mean, it's almost been a complete and total outlier of the philosophy in your playbook and your sort of your go-to plan of the year type of approach. And since we've been on that, we've kind of adjusted week to week. Every 2 weeks, you've learned something new every month. And I think that's why it's been so valuable and we were so fortunate to be able to have our guys back, because you're sort of getting tripped up along the way and you're learning. And as you learn, now that you get back into the fall, what does your fall look like as they return with your normal fall preseason conditioning slash practices and recruiting? Now, what's that going to look like? So we're moving into that phase a little bit in terms of the planning. What's the contingency plan? Obviously, if our season is to start on time, which we're operating as if it will. If it doesn't, you know, what's the contingency plans on that? Craziest things. I mean, just things like, are they going to go home for Thanksgiving and Christmas this year? Things you never really think about, but like those are things you got to plan in July and August, because if you don't, you know, you're not going to be able to help your players the best you can when those situations arise. So a lot of details of the normal everyday protocols that we would just normal everyday business clearly has changed. And I think as we've sort of set out to see, okay, well, let's see how this works. If it does, great. If it doesn't, then, you know, obviously there's something that we can take from it and hopefully, you know, prepare for the best. But it's an uncharted territory for not only me, but it's uncharted for everybody on the planet right now. So, I mean, I don't think we're in any different situation as everybody else. But I will say I'm really, really excited about the group we have, though. Their ability to sort of absorb this from March, 14 weeks they were away. Their ability to sort of grasp our plan, why we're coming back, this is what we want to accomplish when we're back, and to kind of watch their maturity level of this group, it's definitely by far and away the most together, best leadership that we've had, and also just the maturity of our new guys coming in have really just fallen in line and have really not missed a beat. So we've been fortunate that we've learned a lot. And I guess that would be the thing we're taking. We continue to keep learning and keep planning and keep learning. But in some cases, the inevitable happens when you're not ready. And you do have to have those contingency plans, I think, kind of build in the best you can.
Okay, John?
I guess building on that a little more, I mean, what have you guys specifically been able to accomplish or get done? I mean, is there a lot of five-on-five going on right now? Or is it more focused on individual work where you can be a little more socially distant, or what is the balance there?
We'll start, John, let me just start it by saying this. We brought our group back in two groups. And I think, you know, sort of looking at the situations that our players all come from and knowing that the protocols were going to be in place on the return, there was going to be some serious restrictions on guys every day, sort of life. And if your situation at home was pretty good in terms of your facilities, your access, your safety, and you had a good thing kind of going at home where you were in a pretty good groove, we gave those guys the opportunity to come on July 1. And then we had a certain group that was ready to come back earlier. So they came back right around the 15th, 14th, middle of June. So we actually had two groups. And our phase one, which is obviously the phase one protocol, which kind of came out from the university, it started with our ability for the voluntary workout. And our main objective in coming back was to address where we were at physically, mentally, and health-wise. And to do that, missing 14 weeks, we have to get back in the training in terms of your body. So our guys started with weight room opportunities and some voluntary conditioning stuff. That first group of six probably went about a week and a half alone before the other guys came back, which gave us a real quick snapshot of how this was going to work. It gave them the impression of this is a little different, how they enter the building, they get the temperature checked, they're wearing masks in the weight room. There's only groups of three to four in the weight room. There's no contact allowed in our facility in terms of playing basketball. We gave them no opportunities to play. There's no 5-on-5, no 3-on-3, no nothing. And then they came with another opportunity as we kept moving where they could go in the gym and shoot the ball. You know, single baskets, single rebounder, masks on with the coaching staff and whatnot that was in there in terms of like the managers or the helpers. It wasn't us, but so they started to shoot the ball a little bit in the afternoon and get into a rhythm. Once the other guys got back in July, they sort of fell in line, and I thought that first group did a really good job of sort of showing them, hey, this is kind of what we do, this is how we do it. And they got off to a really good start. And then lo and behold, 4 weeks later, we hit the coaching opportunity. More or less, our coaching staff then allowed to be involved from July 20th. So we've been in that phase now where we've worked on the court two times a day with two groups. You know, realistically, probably about 35 to 45, 50 minutes, split the groups sort of in half or by position, however we wanted to do it. And we got a few of these court workouts now where we probably had between 4 and 6 of those with the staff. And they went without a hitch. And I think a lot of that just is late in the line. Like I said, guys, Tim Gorrell's done an amazing job. I mean, when you talk about a guy on, you know, I hate to say front lines because it's such a more serious note when you hear the word front lines, but like he's the guy in the building every day directing, almost policing the practices when guys are too close together. And, you know, ice bags, they take a whole new element now when you return back to the training room after you leave before. And he's in there all day long to the best of his ability to be able to run our show in the facility. He's done a great job. So we finished, like I said, today. We had two workouts again today. All of our players are working out right now, minus Jerome, who went to the dentist here to get his tonsils, a procedure on his tonsils, which basically ended his summer just a couple days early. But we'll finish over the day off tomorrow, and we'll finish with two more days on the floor. And our hope would be that when we finish on Friday, we will have completed a very, very thorough 6 weeks where our guys returned, we addressed the bodies, we looked and see where we were at, and our hope was that we sort of replaced, I guess what you would call our spring and early summer with this 6 week period. And now as we return in August in a few weeks of the fall calendar, we're sort of where we would be, you know, in the middle of the summer. So did we catch up all the way? No. Do I feel great? Wish I had more time, but I will tell you this. There hasn't been a day that I've woke up since we've had one player on campus where I haven't said our deal's working. These guys put us in a position to be successful with the protocol, the slow phasing. And when they leave on Friday, man, I couldn't have asked for a better 6 weeks. It would have been as good as it was if we had no restrictions other than the fact that our guys, you know, weren't playing basketball, you know, 5-on-5 or 3-on-3. We didn't have a whole lot of competition, which at the end of the day, it's not really the concern right now. So that's sort of like a little broad-based approach on what we did. But I love what our guys have done in terms of catching up. I was impressed with the first workout we got on the floor with them as a coach. We kind of just wanted to test them out and see where we were at. I was very, very surprised at where we were at from a conditioning standpoint. Like certain guys really, really had done a good job at home. And then certain guys have done a great job in a four-week period of time, five-week period of time, of really ramping up sort of that weight room conditioning element of things that we've had really good workouts. And, I know it's just in this time period where we're at, man, but I feel like we've done a really good job as a group of handling it. And I have to give our players a lot of credit too. You know, part of the challenge right now, as you guys know, none of your issues typically are going to happen within your own protocols and facility. It's going to happen the other 18 to 19 hours of the day when you don't see them and they're on campus. And to our guys' credit, I really feel like there's been some discipline there and there's been some leadership, some accountability in terms of, hey, let's not fall straight off here. We got to shut this thing down and it didn't work. Ours has come off, I think, pretty good.
And again, Archie Miller, Alex, those are some questions from last night in the media availability. We may fit some more of this in later today and definitely later in the week, because there were a number of players that followed Coach Miller last night on this Zoom call for media, and he covers a lot of different subjects, some pretty interesting stuff, so stay with us for that. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, more on Archie Miller and his media appearance last night. Dustin Dopierak, a writer formerly with The Athletic, joins us. We'll talk IU basketball and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Dustin Dopierak, formerly of The Athletic, is my guest as we talk college basketball, college football, a little bit of everything these days each week on the program. And Dustin, I said this in the first segment when we played back some of Archie Miller's opening comments from last night's online or Zoom presser, talking with media, taking some questions from the media. More than anything, it was good to hear from him, and we've heard him do some individual interviews, a podcast or two during the pandemic as he's had more time. But hearing from him, hearing from the players, talking about some of the specifics with the team for next year, all it does for me is get me more excited for a season. And then I realize that we're about to be at August 1st, so we've got forever until the season begins. And then I realize that we're in the middle of a pandemic, and who knows what happens with the season. Is it a January start? Do we have a season at all? So last night was really good. He covered a lot of subjects, very enjoyable. But dang, I'm not sure that – I think it got me hyped up for something that is still a long, long way off.
Yeah, no, and there's a lot of things that could happen between now and then. That's obviously the thing, is you're imagining, okay, this season could start in November. We're looking at season starting now in July. Major League Baseball starting it's the last week of July, and you're already a week in and already having a crisis basically with the Marlins getting all of their positive tests. So you're realizing, okay, you're not only projecting forward to guess whether or not things are going to get better overall as a whole to be able to pull it off, but also realizing that if there's not a vaccine by that point, and it would be an out-and-out miracle if there was, then there are always possibilities of outbreaks or small things that could happen that set things off course. You're obviously constantly keeping that in the back of your mind, but like you said, I think it's still nice for fans, I think, and even I'm sure for – I wasn't on the call, but the media members are on that call – just to act normal for a day, just to act normal for a couple hours. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of questions on that call about, contingency plans and how are you guys just dealing with this reality, and do you think there's going to be a season? And obviously, Archie Miller has answers for some of those and is just guessing on half of them. But other than that, there were possibilities. There was time in there where just basketball was discussed, and there was – you given time to imagine what an Indiana basketball team would look like. So I think I'm sure it was refreshing for fans, refreshing for the media was on the call just to write about basketball. Archie Miller to just talk about basketball and talk about it like it's a thing that's going to happen. Again, you have no idea if it will. because you can't say, okay, is there going to be, you know, I imagine, you know, about a month and a half ago, college football seemed like a more realistic possibility. But then you had a significant uptick in cases again. So, you know, it's raised a lot of questions. And then you started to see some of the complications that baseball is having, you know, having a season start that isn't bubbled, and saying that there's going to be complications involved in that, and sort of just deciding, okay, or you know, they're obviously pushing through. Is college basketball or college football going to take the same process? So, you know, we remain in limbo, and that's kind of where we are, and that's life in America in 2020. But still all the same, there's every once in a while, you got to enjoy what's there. I think it's the same with the sports that are being played, even though you see all the complications and the possibility, that things might have to get shut down again, you at least enjoy the games for what they are when they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of those basketball things that I was probably most intrigued by last night, and again, we've only played select amount of the of his answers, his comments so far on the program, but he talked about the team being very guard-oriented for this upcoming season, which makes sense with Rob Phinisee and Armand Franklin back again. Of course, Rob Phinisee now would become an upperclassman, a very experienced guard, point guard for this Indiana team. And then, of course, you think about Christian Lander. He's someone that, based on what Coach Miller has to say, you expect to have a role as a freshman. Again, I always call him a young freshman on this team, reclassifying and getting to Bloomington a year early. He even mentioned that, and he said this, we're going to play three perimeter players around Trace Jackson Davis and Joey Brunk like we did a year ago. So it sounds like a hybrid approach for Indiana at the guard spot, possibly three guards in the lineup, which we've seen before under Coach Miller, and definitely a guard-oriented team for this upcoming year to help feed Trace Jackson Davis and some of the others that could be real scorers and real threats for Indiana.
Yeah, no, I think that's what we've been talking about. We've been sort of considering and mulling over what this would look like. You know, since I got Christian Lander to say, okay, well, you still have a veteran point guard in Rob Phinisee there. You know, how does this look? Because, I mean, you don't necessarily want to run Phinisee off and have him as a backup. And you certainly, if you're going to bring Christian Lander in early as a five-star kid, you got to get him on the floor. So what does this look like? I mean, how do you get those two guys to play together? And I think, you know, you and I have talked about the possibility of a three-guard lineup a couple of times. I really think so. Obviously, you know, Archie Miller was thinking about this the same way, of figuring out how do you get both of these guys together. And this obviously, he seems really excited about it. And Rob Phinisee even seems happy about it. You know, the idea that of the idea of playing off the ball a little bit. I think there's a lot, I think, of possibility that you could do offensively. And I think, you know, as they mentioned, Trace Jackson Davis, I mean, there's a lot of roster flexibility down at that four and five. You know, he mentioned Jordan Geronimo and Jerome Hunter and the possibility of using those guys as stretch fours. And having, I think Trace is going to get a lot of time at the five, and you really don't have anybody past him and Joey. I mean, you certainly have Race Thompson you could throw in there, who plays more of a four when he's out there. Is obviously more of a post-oriented guy, but there's a lot you can play around with those two spots. I imagine you're going to see Jerome Hunter get a lot of four time, but you know you're going to have minutes for Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal. If you play three guards, that gives you more opportunity to give those guys some work. Basically, and you know you have Al Durham and Armand Franklin that can play the two or three. I mean, Al can play all three positions if you have to. So it leaves for a lot of roster flexibility, a lot of space for you to get a lot of guys in there. And I think, you know, in a weird way, you know, Justin Smith's transfer really opens this up because obviously he led the team in minutes last year. And, you know, he's more of a three or four type guy. And if you got to decide, okay, do you want Hunter on the floor with him? You know, do you want Trace and Joey Brunk on the floor with him? Or do you have to play that much bigger? You know, him being gone for as effective as he was, and I don't like, you know, a lot of people, you know, bust on Justin, but he did a lot of things, was effective in a lot of ways. But moving him out does, I think, leave open for more of this possibility and makes it easier to play Rob and Christian together and then sort of fit all the other pieces in next to that.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. One other thing, and I was thinking about this last night. I'm not sure that in the offseason from the coach, meaning Archie Miller, and from others, there's been as much hype or discussion about an incoming freshman player in the program. It's not like Romeo, but it's not terribly far off either with Christian Lander. There clearly is lots of excitement from everyone about him being in Bloomington, albeit a year early. as a young freshman for this program. But again, last night, Archie Miller, and he previously had done this in his last interview as well, but last night he was asked some questions about Christian Lander, asked about a lot of players, but he had some really good things to say about Christian Lander, which every time I hear the head coach say that, as we sit here at the latter days of July, you have to think that Christian Lander, even as a freshman that's coming in maybe a little undersized and a year ahead of time, is going to see a somewhat serious role on this team, because it's very clear that the coaching staff it has been high on him as a prospect and definitely continues that as he gets ready to suit up for Indiana.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting, I think, in terms of how open Archie is about talking about how good he is. And I think that that's a product, I think, of the fact that we're all in coronavirus times. And he's not afraid of him getting overhyped. There's too much else to talk about. Whereas Romeo Langford, he didn't really have to hype him up. And there's also just simply the fact that Romeo was that good. But we were, you know, when Romeo committed, you know, the world was in a space where you could spend several months talking about a college basketball player and it didn't feel weird. An incoming freshman and being that hyped up because you were just, one, you knew there was going to be a season and you weren't, you know, you didn't just have an NCAA tournament obliterated by this virus. So I think just there's that fact. There's the fact that also Christian's younger and, you know, he physically you look at him, you're like, okay, is he ready? Because he still has very much a high school kid body that you've seen in pictures so far. I mean, obviously he didn't have, you know, kind of a summer of exposure, you know, where he might've been an Indiana All-Star or something like that, or a junior All-Star. And people would have been able to see him. Basically you're seeing this kind of pictures come out on Instagram. You don't really know how much he's developed, where you definitely would know that in normal summers. But I think that leads to him being a little more comfortable talking about him. But certainly that it tells you just how much he liked him. And I think, Archie, I think, even indicated that enough times sort of on the sly before he got him, you know, talking about how much he liked to go to Evansville. I mean, I think he drove the point home pretty well. Everybody knew what he was talking about there. But it does say a lot. I mean, Archie Miller is a point guard himself, and that's the position he grew up in. And I thought the real interesting line that I thought he came out with last night was, like, you don't have to teach him how to play. He's got that – he kept trying to, you know, put the word it factor out there. And what I think he was really getting at is, like, if you're a point guard, there are things that you know how to do. If you're an experienced point guard, there are things you don't have that you know how to do that's just natural to you, that don't necessarily come natural to anybody else, and not necessarily easy to explain, or they would take a long time to explain. And Christian Lander gets it. Like, he just gets it. He gets where the ball is supposed to be. He has a feel for ball screens. He has a feel for just the game. And Archie could sense that right away, that there's an intellect to Christian Lander's game that's advanced. And I think that's sort of really what stood out to me, just, you know, listening to Archie talk about that. I was just listening to that video right before we got on here. It's just his level of excitement that, you know, this kid gets it. And there's, you know, he obviously has to teach him. There's next level things to understand. You know, he hasn't seen a college defense yet, and those type of bodies and that type of speed in terms of guys being able to get to his passes and pick them off. But he has a sense for this game that Archie Miller considers advanced. I think that says a lot, and also, again, tells you why he feels the need to make sure he is on the floor, and he's adjusting his offense to make sure that Christian Lander can be on the floor as much as possible.
Dustin, I want to switch gears a little bit away from Coach Miller's virtual press conference last night, and talk about recruiting. And yesterday afternoon, it was tweeted out by Indiana Elite, which is the AAU program, the travel program that Trey Kaufman plays for in the spring and summer, that Trey has received a scholarship offer from the University of North Carolina. We knew that North Carolina was interested, that they had watched Trey, but there was some uncertainty because there were no summer live periods for coaches to be out watching and recruiting. And, of course, you couldn't take visits or anything like that. There was some uncertainty whether an offer would come from one of those blue blood power type college basketball programs. And I sense that since the offer came yesterday, Indiana fans, I've had a lot of tweets and questions and comments, but Indiana fans may be a little concerned that a program like North Carolina, with a coach like Roy Williams and the reputation that he has in developing players like Trey, that Indiana has even more competition. Now, maybe a sense of concern if Indiana can land and compete against North Carolina for this in-state prospect.
Yeah, I mean, you always have to be concerned when North Carolina gets involved. You know, that's one of those that no matter who you are, basically when it's North Carolina or it's Duke or it's Kentucky or it's Kansas, when your prospect gets an offer from one of those, you got to be nervous. I think those are really the four that I think stand out. Obviously, there are teams that are just as good and programs that are just as good that have won enough, but there's something next level about those teams. There's something, you know, that when they get those, they're sort of like, wow, man, I'm recruited by North Carolina. This is a big deal. Now, that doesn't mean that Indiana can't get them. And obviously, Indiana has been able to keep people that North Carolina has wanted before. It's not the first time, you know. Obviously, Cody Zeller was heavily recruited by North Carolina, and, you know, Indiana managed to keep him at home. So that's doable. I mean, and they obviously still have the advantage of being the home school. So, you know, you obviously see, you know, exactly, you know, what Trey thinks about that, how that changes his way of thinking. You know, obviously, what it does tell you is, okay, this is a premium high-level recruit. If North Carolina wants him, he's a big deal. So if Indiana does get him, that tells you more about, you know, sort of what he's capable of, you know, what level of recruit he is, what level of player he can be. Basically, you know, Roy Williams doesn't take too many guys that can't play. But there's going to be a tough competition. I think Indiana always knew that, that it wasn't going to be easy to get this kid. You know, there's a lot of players, a lot of schools that want him, and they want him for a reason because he's a terrific basketball player. So, you know, they're obviously going to have to stick up with the competition. It's obviously awkward recruiting at this stage. I mean, it's Zoom calls as opposed to, you know, going to AAU games and, you know, showing the love there. It's different kind of stuff. It's different ways of appealing to kids, you know, in this environment. But, you know, I think they always knew they were in for a battle. There were already some other schools, some other really top quality programs that wanted them, Virginia among them, you know, Purdue among them. They were always going to have to battle, and this is just one more team they're going to have to battle. Obviously, there's, you know, North Carolina has a chance of rising above everybody else, and you'll certainly see just how Trey reacts to it if he looks at it as, you know, this is what I always wanted. You know, I really can't pass this up. It's altogether possible. Obviously, Indiana just lost out to a couple of out-of-state kids last year. They wanted Caleb Love and they wanted RJ Davis. Both of them were interested in both of those guys. Both of those guys ended up going to North Carolina. So, you know, it wouldn't be the first time they lost out to him, but it also wouldn't be the first time they beat him. So it changes the calculus a little bit. That's a big offer. That is one of those ones that out of any school that could offer that would make you think, oh, man, you know, the game just changed. North Carolina is one of those schools, that's for sure. But again, it doesn't mean it's a lock. That doesn't mean Indiana's out just because North Carolina offered. It makes the competition a little bit harder, but it doesn't define it necessarily.
Dustin Dopierak, he's formerly of The Athletic and still kind enough to join us Wednesdays as we talk IU and college sports. Dustin, thanks for the chat, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak with us. And again, let's hope that someone nearby picks him up. He's a talented writer, a talented journalist, and he's still keeping up with everything, staying fresh, and kind enough to join us to talk about a lot of familiar subjects that he covered with The Athletic in his Wednesday segment on our program. Quick note as we head to commercial break, should have mentioned this earlier in the week, but the NBA Draft Combine, there is going to be, it looks like, a combine. Of course, August 2nd coming up is the deadline, but Devontae Green did not get an opportunity to attend the NBA combine, but a number of Big Ten players did. Coburn and Dosunmu of Illinois, Luka Garza obviously at Iowa, Jalen Smith at Maryland, three Michigan State players, Daniel Arturo from Minnesota, Caleb Weston from Ohio State, Lamar Stevens from Penn State. That's all important because it could determine some of those underclassmen, if they come back or not. Of course, they've got to make a decision before August 2nd. But if you get in the combine, that's normally pretty good news. It'll be interesting to see how some of those underclassmen play out with their decision. We'll head to a commercial break. Local sports topics next with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, presented by the Major League Shirt Company. That's next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. We talk local sports in this segment each week with Josh Cook. He's sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment is brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. Let me read this note here. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star tweeting this out earlier this morning that a note went out from the IHSA to athletic directors across the state that says, a quote, a successful, safe football season is going to take a collective effort. Our coaches, players, and officials have worked extraordinarily hard this spring and summer in preparation for the chance at a season. I hold out hope that their efforts will allow our football communities to be rewarded with a great season, fond memories, and phenomenal sportsmanship. Another quote from the statement, as we move forward during the season, on-field personnel allowances may become very restrictive. I would ask that you consider not having any non-game personnel on the sidelines. That would include school administrators, media, and all others, non-participants. And Josh, I say that because that statement tells me that the IHSAA continuing to prepare its ADs, prepare schools across the state, if they choose, on a school-by-school basis, with guidance from the local and state health departments, to move forward with football and fall sports in some form or fashion this year.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. You know, football's what, like three weeks away from this Friday, something like that. Yeah. So sounds good. I'm not crazy about that media on the sidelines part because I got to take some pictures.
Yes.
Come on. But,
yes.
but yeah, I mean, fall sports, the girls golf practice starts this week and then they start playing matches on Monday. So fall sports are right around the corner. Thank goodness, you know, we didn't know if they'd get here, but you know, it looks like they are. So and that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
To hear that. But, you know, football's the one. So it sounds like they're moving ahead with football. That sounds good.
You mentioned girls golf events can begin Monday. And of course, fall practices begin August 3rd for all other fall sports that are in season in the upcoming fall here in Indiana. Any update? You've talked to a lot of coaches. You've been around the area. There were some positive cases, and schools kind of obviously reported that to the local health department and worked with them on contact tracing, and it was also, in some cases, released to the media. Heard of some cases maybe at other schools that they had to shut this or that down, but there really wasn't an official statement on it. How do you get the feeling things are going as we wrap up these summer workouts and get ready for the start of fall sport practices next week?
Yes, things seem to be going pretty well. You know, I think most of, if not, you know, everybody is just getting ready and crossing their fingers for when things can really get going on Monday and most of the practices start, or all the practices start, I guess. And, you know, everybody's just raring to go at this point.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. I talked about this some in the last segment, but I want to bring it up again. You and I have discussed Trey Kaufman, his abilities, his recruitment, the scholarship offers he has, and how exciting he and the Silver Creek team will be to watch this upcoming season. A big addition to his list yesterday, North Carolina, with a scholarship offer to Trey. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, another that's a big one. You know, that's kind of one of the storied programs, one of the big boys. And now we'll see if Duke and Kentucky will come up with offers too. But you know, sometimes it's like that. Once one of the big ones comes, then the other ones are right around the corner. So it's going to be interesting to see you know, how much impact North Carolina has in the recruiting situation now.
And I want to cover, just kind of bouncing to some subjects, a few more I want to cover with you as we're in the final couple minutes of the program. But a new coach, boys basketball coach, hired officially last night at New Washington, replacing Jonathan May, who had a nice run there and actually is now the school's athletic director. And it's a familiar face, at least in 1A and small school basketball in that conference and in that sectional with their new coach at New Washington.
That's right. That's right. Yep. He bring over an assistant from Lanesville. He's been there the last few years. And, you know, I'm not sure if Lanesville has a prerequisite for all of its coaches, but I think most of their coaches, if not all of them, have shaved heads, right?
I gotta ask you about that. There you go. He's somebody familiar, though, with, as I mentioned, the sectional, this area, the conference competition. So it's a guy that I think pretty well regarded in the coaching community and someone that can come in. And New Washington has some young players in high school and even below the high school ranks that he'll have to form and work with as he builds that program.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely do have some good talent, good young talent, like you mentioned. And it's going to be interesting to see, what happens over the next couple of years. Because, you know, that sectional's always competitive and it's always good basketball. So, it's fun to watch, right? That sectional, don't you enjoy that sectional?
Yes, it's a good one. 1A basketball, of course, the sectional normally at Borden, but there have been some really good teams. We've had some great battles, yeah. Christian Academy and Lanesville, obviously, in recent years, and he was a part of some of those great games as those two very good programs competed in recent seasons. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, thank you for the chat. Always fun to run through some local sports headlines with you and appreciate the time today.
Thank you, Matt, and happy first day of school to all the kids going back today.
Absolutely. That's happening at some school systems, a few across the area, others delayed. And one other note, a college commitment yesterday in baseball, a Providence senior-to-be baseball standout, Eli Watson. He's had a really good summer, and he committed yesterday to Western Kentucky University. So another D1 baseball player in the area. Have a great Wednesday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.